over 1,000 miners in Poland's Silesian coal fields continue to hole up underground in a protest of martial law as their relatives gather at the mine entrance. I'm Judy Muller, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. In a report this morning on Warsaw Radio, the official Polish version of the story is that the situation at the Piast mine is still difficult, with attempts continuing by local authorities and members of the miners' families to begin talks. Broadcasts by the radio station have maintained that the situation throughout the country is improving and that the strike at the Silesian mine is the last pocket of resistance. At the same time, reports coming out of Warsaw during the past couple of days indicate Solidarity has been circulating clandestine bulletins urging workers to strike. The bulletins also reported talks between church officials and Communist Party leaders aimed at finding a solution to the crisis in the country. There have been no further details on those talks. More CBS News in a minute.
The executive unemployment line grows longer as the recession deepens, and according to a recent article in the Wall Street Journal, no industry or region is immune. So have a pencil ready for an important offer from the Journal that can help keep you informed of news like this, happening anywhere in business that could affect your future and your company's future. Other Journal articles reported on how the deregulation of airlines has led to red-hot fare slashing, why all work and no play is becoming a problem for two career families, stocks some analysts say should not be in your portfolio, and why it might be wise to wait a while before setting up a 1982 individual retirement account. The Wall Street Journal. It's all the business news you need when you need it. Right now, you can get 26 weeks of the Journal, one for every business day of the week, for less than $1.60 per week. That's just $41 for 26 weeks, less than $1.60 per week. So if you're serious about business, in the continental U.S., call toll-free 800-228-6600. That's 800-228-6600, except in Nebraska. You'll be billed later.
Two Democratic congressmen say Congress should reject Secretary of the Interior James Watts' plan, that is, to expand offshore oil and natural gas leases. John Dingell of Michigan and Toby Moffat of Connecticut said a study by the General Accounting Office found that the department has not fully considered all the likely effects of the proposal. Moffat, who chairs an energy subcommittee, says the report has presented a list of things the Interior Department should do.
They need to really be able to give us some indication of the impacts on industry competition, on the whole question of whether small companies get to participate in lease sales, on what the impact on the economy will be, what the impact would be if they used alternative bidding systems. None of that's really been done.
Moffat said the plan to allow the oil companies to lease almost 1 billion acres of offshore public lands is not based on any sound analysis of the impact on the Treasury. A top Israeli official has blasted the United States for what he calls a deterioration in relations between the two countries. Bruno Wassertile reports.
Moshe Aarons, Israel's ambassador designate to Washington, has sharply criticized America's current policy toward the Middle East. In an Israeli radio interview, Aarons made no bones about saying which way he thought the Reagan administration was leaning.
The way I perceive American actions and the shaping up of American policy is that that the United States, in effect, has decided to adopt the Saudi Arabian positions on Middle East issues.
Aarons commented that, in fact, the Saudi positions are those proposed by the PLO, Syria, and other radical Arab elements. The ambassador-designate expressed concern that Saudi influence would eventually steer the United States away from its commitment to the Camp David Accords. Bruno Wassertile, CBS News, Jerusalem.
More than 6,000 residents in Detroit's northern suburbs of Fraser and Sterling Heights were allowed to return to their homes early this morning after officials declared the area safe once again. A chlorine gas truck parked outside a chemical firm had caught fire on Saturday, and a resulting cloud of dangerous chlorine gas caused county officials to evacuate the residents of the area. There were no injuries. More news after this.
When you're out there on the road and you need a place to go, I know a place with good food all night long.
It's a Denny's restaurant, and this month between 11 at night and 6 in the morning, we'll take 50 cents off any of our 7 delicious jumbo burgers, including our new fresh mushroom burger. Try one.
Denny's, you'll love our food.
The world has problems, that is true, but here's our season's wish for you. That peace and goodwill just might yet work, Season's cheer from the CBS Radio Network.
With that word of cheer from CBS News correspondent Charles Osgood, we bring you greetings from our good sports. Win Elliott, Jim Kelly, Bill Schweitzer, Kirk Gowdy, Len Berman, Howard David, Dick Stockton, Brent Musburger, Jack Buck, and Hank Stram, and everyone else at the CBS Radio Network.
China today expressed support for President Reagan's tough policy toward the Soviet Union, but at the same time, Peking voiced serious misgivings over the United States' attitude toward the Third World and Taiwan. The new China news agency said in a commentary, the Reagan administration has given first priority to rearmament, with special emphasis on sophistication, quality, and performance of weapon systems. But the commentary expressed grave doubts about Reagan administration's attitude toward the Third World.
This is Spectrum on the CBS Radio Network. Personal opinion on issues of public interest from six different viewpoints. Now, one of those perspectives.
I'm Kevin Phillips. Let's make no mistake. Libyan dictator Muammar Gaddafi is the sort of man for whom the American, Egyptian, Israeli, or any other intelligence services should probably have arranged a major accident some years back. But right now, it strikes me that the Libyan strongman has succeeded in provoking the government of this country into some rather odd and possibly even reckless behavior. If Gaddafi is really doing everything the president and the White House claim he's doing, including sending in assassination teams, then American officials have probably made a mistake in talking so much and forcing the issue so much. After all, there are still some Americans in Libya who Gaddafi could take hostage. There are Western oil pipelines his saboteurs could blow up. Why have we been trying to provoke a man whom American policymakers openly admit is erratic and unstable? Unfortunately, we are now at a point where if the United States doesn't do something to cut Gaddafi down to size, then the administration loses face. But if the president does take some bold action in Libya, then he runs the risk of prompting some form of extreme action in return. He also runs the risk of worsening U.S. relations with the majority of our European allies who already believe the United States has been overreacting. It's clear from press reports that most European and pro-Western Arab observers think the United States has made a big mistake by singling out Gaddafi, by letting him posture as a Mideast David standing up to the American Goliath. And secondly, I find myself more than a little skeptical of the way the White House jumped into its anti-Libyan campaign with trumpets blowing. Putting the screws to Gaddafi quietly makes sense, but I wonder if politics isn't part of the reason for all the public fuss and posturing. Certainly the whole Libyan ruckus has helped take the public's mind off Richard Allen, David Stockman, 8.4% unemployment, and $100 billion federal deficits. However, as Gerald Ford found out 6 years ago after the Mayaguez episode, and as Jimmy Carter found out on the Iranian hostages issue, the benefits of jingoism, of trying to mobilize American opinion through foreign crisis politics, don't last too long. Quieter diplomacy would be better diplomacy, and in the long run, probably better politics, too. I'm Kevin Phillips for Spectrum.
Monday through Saturday, Spectrum brings you differing informed viewpoints on various topics of public interest. Opinions not necessarily those of this station or the CBS Radio Network.
CBS News. Secretary of State Alexander Haig says martial law in Poland has not succeeded, and that the danger of Soviet intervention may be greater now than before the military crackdown. I'm Judy Muller, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. In an interview with the Washington Post, Haig said passive resistance to the military regime will continue, in his view, and it will be aggravated by continuing economic problems. There has been no report of troop movements in the Soviet Union that would indicate direct Soviet intervention, but Haig said his concern is based on the continuing civil strife that could not be contained by Polish authorities. According to reports on Warsaw Radio, civil strife is abating, with only one strike continuing, that of Silesian coal miners. But the official radio reports contrast sharply with clandestine bulletins being circulated in Warsaw by Solidarity, which say several people were killed in street demonstrations last week. The Solidarity reports say police, who had been using tear gas and truncheons to disperse large crowds in Gdansk, were said to have opened fire on those crowds. One document said there had been 6 deaths in the port city, but added that they could not be definitely confirmed. Soviet leader Leonid Brezhnev has sent a letter responding to President Reagan's speech last week, which threatened to take sanctions against the Soviet Union if the military repression in Poland continues. The contents of the letter have not been revealed. Today, the communist newspaper Pravda charged that the United States wanted to provoke a Soviet intervention in Poland as a pretext to break off arms control talks. More CBS News in a minute.
Oh, my back!
What happened, dear?
Well, I finished weeding the garden, so I decided to wash the car and...
And you overexerted yourself. Oh, Charlie, you never learn.
I know, but it's such a nice day and...
And now you've got a nagging backache.
Okay, I hear you.
Well, just sit there till I get you a couple of Doane's pills.
Yeah, Doane's pills, good idea.
And good advice. Doane's pills. When you have a simple nagging backache due to overexertion, stress, or strain... Taken as directed, this time-proven analgesic has brought temporary relief of minor backache pain to thousands of people. Doane's pills. They belong in every family's medicine cabinet.
Feel more comfortable tonight, dear?
Sure do.
That's good.
Those Doane's pills really work.
Get Doane's pills and get the better of a backache due to simple overexertion, stress, or strain. Doane's pills bring you the kind of welcome relief you may need. Available at drug counters or your favorite supermarket. Doane's pills. Use only as directed.
Residents of suburban Detroit didn't get much sleep last night as they waited for officials in the area to declare their neighborhoods safe again. Stephen Kay of CBS affiliate WWJ in Detroit reports.
6,000 residents of Fraser and Sterling Heights returned to their homes early today, ending an evacuation which began Saturday evening when 50,000 pounds of a swimming pool compound, dry chlorine, caught fire. Clouds of dangerous gas formed overhead, and police were forced to evacuate a four-square-mile area. Fraser Public Safety Director Larry Hoffman said he was just lucky.
Well, it was dangerous because that chlorine gas is lethal, and all we could do is try to flood it. Chlorine starts on fire from moisture water, and the only alternative is to flood it with so much water like you have in a swimming pool to put it out. But the problem was with the fire that was way up in the front. We couldn't get at it through the side door or the back door of the semi-trailer. Owners told us there was 30 barrels weighing 300 pounds apiece, but there turned out to be something like 50.
Authorities don't know what caused one of those containers to leak. Stephen Kay for CBS News in Detroit.
Three United States Marines on leave in Barcelona, Spain, have been injured in clashes with anti-NATO demonstrators. Police sources in Barcelona say the three were attacked last night on one of the port city's main avenues. The injured were reportedly taken back to their ships by other Marines. A Soviet underground nuclear explosion was registered today at the Seismological Institute in Sweden. A spokesman said the explosion occurred in proving grounds in western Siberia. More news after this.
We can turn off the dryer now, Mrs. Sloan. Oh,
that's all right, Barbara. The longer I stay under the hairdryer, the less I eat.
Pardon?
I'm trying to diet, but I'm always hungry.
Oh, I used to have that problem.
You? You're slim. How do you control your appetite?
Deliciously, with AIDS candy.
AIDS candy? Mm-hmm. How can candy help you eat less?
AIDS is more than delicious candy. It's a diet plan. AIDS works two ways.
How?
The candy helps satisfy your hunger, and it has an effective appetite suppressant. So I eat less and lose weight deliciously.
Does AIDS candy contain a stimulant?
No stimulant. Nothing that can make you nervous. AIDS simply helps control your appetite so you eat less. I have some right here in my purse. Taste.
Mmm, they are delicious.
The AIDS diet plan lets you enjoy two AIDS before each meal.
And I'll be less hungry with AIDS?
Right.
Well, that's half the battle. I'll try AIDS.
Lose weight deliciously with the aid of AIDS. Available at drugstores and supermarkets everywhere. Use only as directed.
A guard who allegedly made off with $200,000 from his armored truck in Scottsdale, Arizona over 2 months ago has been arrested after a nationwide search. Police said Darrell Weilberg was arrested at a motel in Phoenix and is being held in lieu of $1.25 million bond. Weilberg and his wife were taken into custody after Phoenix police spotted a car they were told to look for. Officers said they lured the couple out of the motel room by telling them on the phone that a drunken driver had hit their sports car. A police spokesman said Weilberg wasn't very happy, and he hasn't been very cooperative.
This is Spectrum on the CBS Radio Network. Personal opinion on issues of public interest from six different viewpoints. Now, one of those perspectives.
I'm Jack Newfield. There are two kinds of conservatives. There are some, like my Spectrum colleague, Kevin Phillips, whom I find to be intellectually honest and fair-minded in his comments about other people. The other type is typified by the columnist, publisher, and businessman, William F. Buckley. Buckley strikes me as unfair and hypocritical in his treatment of others. Some examples. Earlier this year, Buckley wrote several columns attacking Jacobo Timmerman. It later developed, according to the New York Times, that Buckley had used fraudulent quotes against Timmerman. This week, Buckley published a syndicated column that attacked the marvelous actress Jane Fonda, insinuating she is a friend of tyranny and indifferent to the agony of Poland. Buckley's comments totally misrepresented her views and were a cheap shot left over from the 1960s. But who is Bill Buckley to judge so publicly the purity and morality of others? The Federal Securities and Exchange Commission has ruled that Buckley and two partners had to make $1.8 million in restitution payments to the Star Broadcasting Company because of questionable business practices that cheated stockholders. Buckley had to resign as a director of the company and also had to agree not to serve as an officer or director of any publicly held company for 5 years. During his time of trouble with the SEC, Buckley was interviewed by the Wall Street Journal. And in an attempt to evade responsibility for his actions, Buckley told the Journal, quote, "I'm not good with figures. I don't understand them," unquote. Buckley has penned many columns abusing welfare cheats. But just last month, Buckley's brother, John, signed a consent decree with the SEC in a second case. John Buckley's consent decree involved the Katabak Corporation, an oil and gas company that is the source of the Buckley family's vast wealth. John Buckley's consent decree described self-dealing at the expense of public shareholders that enriched Bill Buckley and his brothers. The next time any listener reads a Buckley column attacking the poor, just write to the SEC and ask for a copy of the Star Broadcasting and Katabar decisions. They detail the avarice of the Buckleys. I'm Jack Newfield for Spectrum.
6 personal points of view on Spectrum. Opinions not necessarily those of this station or the CBS radio network.
CBS News. Secretary of State Haig says the Soviet Union may still intervene in Poland. Good morning. I'm Robert Shackney reporting on the CBS radio network. The Secretary's warning was issued in an interview published in this morning's edition of the Washington Post. Haig said martial law in Poland was not succeeding, that passive resistance would continue, and that as a consequence, Soviet intervention may be more likely now than before the imposition of martial law. Warsaw Radio says more than 1,100 coal miners are still on strike in the Piast mine in Silesia in southern Poland, ignoring the appeals of their wives and children to end the 12-day-old protest. But according to the government radio, strikes were over in all other coal mines and major factories. Solidarity trade union pamphlets circulated in Poland this weekend said martial law authorities used gas to break up a strike in one mine, forcing workers back to the job at gunpoint, and that force was used to end strikes in shipyards and oil refineries in the city of Gdansk. In this country, the State Department is studying the text of a letter just sent to President Reagan by Soviet President Brezhnev about Poland. The Brezhnev letter is a response to a message President Reagan sent the Soviet leader last week, warning of possible U.S. economic sanctions if repression continues in Poland. The contents of Brezhnev's reply have not been made public. However, in an interview with newspaper reporters, the president said he still considers a summit meeting with Brezhnev likely in 1982. More CBS News after this.
The executive unemployment line grows longer as the recession deepens, and according to a recent article in the Wall Street Journal, no industry or region is immune. So have a pencil ready for an important offer from the Journal that can help keep you informed of news like this, happening anywhere in business that could affect your future and your company's future. Other Journal articles reported on how the deregulation of airlines has led to red-hot fare slashing, why all work and no play is becoming a problem for two career families, stocks some analysts say should not be in your portfolio, and why it might be wise to wait a while before setting up a 1982 individual retirement account. The Wall Street Journal. It's all the business news you need when you need it. Right now, you can get 26 weeks of the Journal, one for every business day of the week, for less than $1.60 per week. That's just $41 for 26 weeks, less than $1.60 per week. So if you're serious about business, in the continental U.S., call toll-free 800-228-6600. That's 800-228-6600, except in Nebraska. You'll be billed later.
President Reagan says in parts of the country, the recession could be called a depression because of extremely high unemployment. But in an interview with a group of newspaper reporters this weekend, the president said he intends to continue his present economic program because it represents the best hope of solving unemployment. The answer to unemployment, the president said, is not a quick fix with some jerry-built programs of government spending, but rather a stimulant to the private sector, which he said will provide the bulk of the jobs. In Fraser, Michigan, north of Detroit, authorities had to evacuate residents of a 2-square-mile area when a tanker truck loaded with chlorine gas caught fire. Fraser's public safety director, Larry Hoffman, said the poison gas posed an immediate threat.
The fumes were billowing from the truck, from the chlorine, burning. It was hanging low to the earth, and according to the prevailing wind, it was going towards Moulin Rouge subdivision. And, it looked like we couldn't get it under control right away. We ordered evacuation of that whole area, which probably involved, 1,500 to 2,000 people, depending on how many were home.
A number of those evacuated spent the night in shelters set up in 2 nearby schools, but residents who wished to were allowed to return home, provided they opened windows and aired out the buildings. CBS News will continue after this.
Listen closely. This is the sound of a cigarette being broken in half. The sound of a powerful habit being broken. The cigarette habit is being broken these days with the scientific help of Bantron smoking deterrent tablets. If you really want to break the habit, use Bantron and stay with it for 2 weeks to help reinforce your desire to quit. Now, this is important. Bantron doesn't work by making smoking unpleasant. It actually helps curb your craving for nicotine. Bantron works with a unique buffered formula that lets it smoking suppressants start to work fast. Bantron has the most effective formula you can buy to make it easier to quit smoking. So if you really want to break the habit, use Bantron. And this broken cigarette could be your last. You can do it. The more you want to stop smoking, the more Bantron will help you break the habit. Use only as directed.
Immigration officials say 650 Haitian refugees held in a detention center near Miami are refusing to accept their meals, apparently as a protest to force their release. The protests began Christmas Eve or earlier. The refugees told a visiting clergyman they've been held in the detention center for months. An Air Force lieutenant who survived 6 days in a life raft without food or water is back home with friends and relatives at Johnson Air Force Base in North Carolina. The officer, Lieutenant Thomas Tiller, said he was never really scared after his Phantom jet crashed in the Atlantic, that he kept hoping somebody would come and find him,